John 13 in your Bibles. I want to speak to you today. My subject that I want to get to is heaven. Heaven. I want to preach a couple of messages on heaven. Next Sunday, a special group's going to sing a song that has a tremendous message about heaven that has really moved my heart. And Sam got the music for it, and the group's been training to sing, and we hope to sing that next Sunday. And then, you know, that's always dependent on people being well and the pianist being well and all those kind of things. And I want to preach a couple of messages about heaven, and I want to preach a couple of messages about hell before we get back to an expository series of some kind in the Word of God. In John 13, Jesus ate the Passover with his disciples. Look at verse 26. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for your help. I stand in need to have the filling of the Spirit of God to proclaim your word and to speak truthfully to help your people and to help any who are lost to know Christ as their Savior. I ask for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus knew what was taking place and how Satan entered into Judas Iscariot to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He told him to do what he was going to do quickly, to get this over with. This was all leading up to Christ going to the cross, which he knew, which he had tried to prepare his disciples for. He said in verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So the prime example of being a disciple of Christ is to have the biblical love for one another that Jesus had for his disciples. Then Jesus talks to Peter. Peter wants to go with Jesus. He doesn't realize Jesus is going to the cross. And he wants to go with Jesus. Jesus says, "You can't go with me now, but you will join me later." And Peter says, "Lord, I'll lay down my life for you. I want to go with you." Then in verse number 38, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." So Jesus knew all along that Peter's flesh was weak. You can't trust your flesh. You can't say what you will do and won't do. You have no idea until you face the situation what you will do. The hope is that we'll walk with God and do the right thing, that we'll trust the Lord, that we'll obey His word, that we will know what God's word applies to a situation, that as a mature believer we will make the right choices between right and wrong because we have the discernment of the word of God. God, help us to do what's right. If it is the Lord's will, I will do this. If God help me, I will do that. If God supply the strength, I plan to do this and to do that. That is how we should approach things, not saying I will do this and I won't do this. Because when we say that, we invite Satan in the same way Peter did to see if he can defeat us in the energy of our flesh. We need the Lord every hour. We cannot even depend upon our own heart. People say, "Follow your heart and it'll lead you right." That's a cute little saying for poems and stuff and songs. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is the Spirit that gives us the power to obey the Word of God, to do the Lord's will, not our heart. So look in chapter 14 now. He's done this thing. He's done the Passover, which instituted what we call communion or the Lord's Supper in the place of the Jewish feast of the Passover. And we don't observe the Lord's Supper once a year, like the Passover, the Lord's instructions was every time that you do it remembering the Lord's death until he comes again. Now he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Heaven, the Father's house, is a literal place. Heaven is a literal place. It is not a state of mind. It is not a figurative expression. Heaven is a literal place that the Bible calls the dwelling place of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 2, I believe Paul is describing himself, most likely when he was stoned to death and God raised him up. The Bible says there, Paul knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven gives us an understanding. There's a first heaven and a second heaven and a third heaven. And the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. We believe the first heaven is our atmosphere, the clouds where the birds fly and all of that sort of thing, where airplanes are. And inside this atmosphere, there is oxygen and there is a control of temperature to a certain degree. The higher you get, the colder it gets. And once you get to a certain level, like 70,000 feet, where the spy planes can fly, you're starting to get out of our atmosphere. And when you break through the atmosphere, there's a burning effect. A plane has to be equipped like the space shuttle to break the Earth's atmosphere and go into what we call outer space, what God calls the heavens, the stretched out expanse that he created. The place where all the planets are, the place where we call outer space. The third heaven is above this, where the dwelling place of God is. We look up at the night, matter of fact, on the 31st, day's 28th, on the 31st, there's supposed to be a visible blood moon that only takes place, you know, every so many years and all that sort of thing. It's a real sight to see, they say. If it's like it was last night, you wouldn't see it anyway, you know, but we'll wait to see what happens. We look up and see the heavens, and they don't seem to be that far away. The moon is 238,835 miles. You say, how do you know that? Because they've been to the moon. I guess their speedometer clicks over like your car. You know, they can measure the distance, or they can do it with a telescope. I don't know. It takes our current rockets 3 days to get to the moon. To go to Venus or Saturn, it would take 6.5 years in a spaceship to get there. NASA has a new craft that they intend to use in future air travel that will supposedly, in a vacuum of space, travel 36,373 miles per hour. Alpha Centauri was believed to be the closest star to the Earth. In a regular telescope, you look up, they see one star, but now they have determined it is not a star, but it is a series of stars. And there are three main stars in the what visible eye could see was shining as one star, Alpha Centauri. So you have Alpha Centauri A, Alpha Centauri B, and they are 4.4 light years away from the Earth. A light year is the distance that light can travel in 1 year. That is believed to be light traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That it takes 4.4 years for that light to get from Alpha Centauri to the Earth, or to travel from here to there. The third star in that is called Proxima Centauri. And it is closer. It is 4.24 light years away. That means that it is 25 trillion miles away from the Earth. That's a long way. It's amazing that we can even see it with a telescope. And that's the closest star system to the Earth other than our sun, which is 93 million miles away. Now, NASA says if they use their New Horizon spacecraft at 36,000 miles per hour to travel to Alpha Centauri, would take 78,000 years at that speed. I can't even imagine how big outer space is. I can't even imagine the distance of those stars. 9.5 years to reach Pluto in a spaceship. And why would you want to go there to start with? It's a dead planet, you know. Planets means wanderers. And these things aren't wanderers. They're not pool balls that you hit and they're flying all over the place and you have no control. God set these things in motion after He created them. And God lives above these. He's in the third heaven. He's exalted above all of His creation. When Jesus talked to His disciples, He was trying to give them comfort because He was about to leave them and go back to the Father and sit upon His throne. And He would die and be buried and rise again from the grave to pay for our sins before He does that. And He's telling them that when He goes to His Father's house, He'll prepare a place for those who believe in Him. He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 through 21, as He taught people, that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. Because where your heart is, there will your where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what we treasure, we focus on. It's important that we treasure the Lord and we treasure His Word and we treasure heaven because those are eternal things. And if our heart is focused on heaven and we know Christ is our Savior, then we are a citizen of that place already, because Christ paid the price for our sins that we might be a part of His family. This is not some mystical place. This is just as real as you can walk out and see the sun shining or the moon come up. God created those places. He created a place for us called heaven where we will dwell with Him, not just for all eternity, because God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth where there we'll dwell with Him for all eternity. If we die today, there's a place for us to go. In heaven, there's a city. The new heaven and the new earth will have a city. Look at Revelation chapter 21 with me. Revelation 21. I can already see I'm not going to get through all this today. I'll do the best I can. Revelation 21, verse 1. The new Jerusalem. There's seven new things in heaven he describes in this chapter. In verse 1 he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all their tears.'" In Revelation 21:10, Scripture says, "He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now, God has heaven for us preparing a place for us. And there will be a city called the New Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven, and it will be here on the new heaven and the new earth where we'll dwell with Him forever and forever. In verse 21 through chapter 12, the Bible tells us that the New Jerusalem is measured. The city is 12,000 furlongs squared, or about 1,500 miles squared. And it will be a part of the new creation of a heaven and an earth. And there'll be a new river, and it'll be the river of life, crystal clear. And we'll have a new heaven and a new earth where we'll dwell forever and forever. But before that day, God is at his throne now in heaven, in his dwelling place. Christ is sitting on his throne beside his Father. And if you die today, there's a place for you to go. If Christ comes today to take the church to heaven to be with him forevermore, we're going to get a new glorified body that will last forever and forever, and forever we will be with the Lord. Hebrews reveals that the tabernacle in heaven will come down on the earth. And the tabernacle that was created on the earth that Moses led the people to build was patterned after the tabernacle in heaven. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8 and 9 with me. I'll skip straight to chapter 9, verse number 11. It says, "But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Christ entered not the tabernacle on earth or temple on earth to offer his blood, but he entered into the holy tabernacle in heaven with God and offered his blood in the holy place for us to provide eternal redemption for us. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 23 with me. "It was necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but with the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." Moses sprinkled the earthly tabernacle with the blood of calves and goats, but heaven had to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. "For Christ is not entered in the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So heaven is a place where Christ is preparing for us. He's gone before. He's offered his blood in God's holy temple to cover our sins, to wash them away forever and forever. And he's providing a place for us there in the Father's house. Secondly, don't fear going to this place. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You heard the old joke about the old people that got to heaven. They were looking around, seeing all the beautiful things, and the husband looked at the wife and said, "We could have been here 15 years ago if you hadn't made me eat all that oatmeal." Heaven is a beautiful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul said, "We're confident, I say willing rather, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord." It is foolish to us to long grieve and mourn over people who've died and gone to heaven. Grieve over the fact we didn't witness more and reach more if they die and go to hell. But those that go to heaven, we can rejoice that they're home with the Lord, that they're provided for, their place is ready, and the Lord has taken them home to be with him forevermore. Sure, you're going to grieve at a child that dies. You're going to grieve at an immediate loved one in your family dies. It takes something from you. That's all about you. That's not about them. If they're with the Lord, they wouldn't come back here if they could come back, no matter how much you want them to. And you can't make an angel out of them, no matter how much you talk about that. They are people. They're with the Lord. My friends, we're far above angels when the day comes that we get to be with the Lord with a glorified body forever and forever. The angels desire to understand the salvation that we have experienced in a relationship with Jesus Christ. This world we live in today is not heaven. This is not paradise. I don't matter how good you got it here on this earth, you're a citizen of heaven if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Philippians 3:20 uses three different Greek nouns in the Bible to describe what is called conversation there. We hear the word conversation often when it's used in the context of our behavior, how manner of living or how we are to live. But in this particular verse, a verb is used that means politics. It means to be a member of the state, a member of a city. And we have citizenship in heaven because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, and He is preparing a place for us there. One day soon, we're going to get caught up under the Lord in our atmosphere. He's going to meet us and take us to His Father's house, to the place He has prepared. Thirdly, where is heaven? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. I've shared with you just a little bit about outer space and how, the heavens, what we call the second heaven of outer space, is way up there. It's a long way off. There's a whole lot of stuff up there, millions and millions and millions and billions of stars and planets are moving in the galaxies. We used to think the Milky Way was us and there was nothing else. Now they found there are more galaxies than they can even number, with more and more stars and more planets. Stronger telescopes they get, the farther out they can see. And when you fly one up to the moon or fly it in a rocket into outer space, they sent the Hubble telescope up there to tell them everything there was about outer space. The greatest scientists in the world worked on that thing. And they got it up there, and it wouldn't work. It needed glasses. So they sent a crew up there in a rocket ship, and they put glasses on the Hubble telescope. That works. Sends back pictures. They've seen more stuff out there. You know what they know now they didn't know? Not a blessed thing. It's too big. There's too much. But God created the heaven and the earth, the stretched out expanse. And God lives in heaven, and heaven is up. We know Jesus was caught up. We know Paul was caught up into paradise with the Lord. And he would glory in that, but not in himself. In Revelation 21 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us there are people that will not go to heaven. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But, boy, that's a horrible word right there. We're going to heaven to be with the Lord, but there's a lot of people who are not going. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look over at chapter 22 and verse number 14. We won't go there for the time, but you might make a notation of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 also gives a list of those that are unsaved. In chapter 22, verse 14, says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Those are not ascending to the Father. They are not going to heaven. They're not going to be with us for all eternity. The only alternative for those who do not go to be with the Lord through Jesus Christ is to go to hell. Hell is an awful place. The Greek word Hades is used to describe hell. It's the place of the dead. In the Old Testament times, up until Christ arose from the grave, Hades had two compartments. Hell, the place of judgment, where the rich man was in torments and flames, begging for a drop of water. Paradise was within visible distance of hell, but they could not pass from one place to another. Father Abraham was being kept there until Christ was resurrected from the dead, and then paradise was taken to heaven with the Lord after he was resurrected from the dead. He resurrected paradise with him to go into heaven. But hell remains in that awful place. But hell is not the final resting place of the lost. Revelation 20, after the great judgment of all lost men, They will be cast into the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, where Satan will be tormented day and night forever and forever. On the earth there'll be a kingdom for 1,000 years, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the great city will descend from heaven to the earth. Where will we be? What happens if I die today? What happens if you die today? What happens if Brother Brooks passes, or Jeff's daddy, or somebody who's a believer that's close to death's door today? I have a daughter that lives in Georgetown, South Carolina. It's 200 miles from here to her house. We found there's a number of ways to get there, but once you get close, there's only one way to get into the city across a bridge. If you come from the opposite directions, there's still a bridge you've got to get into from the other way, because it crosses 5 rivers, go through Georgetown to the ocean. Georgetown's not on the ocean. It is about a mile or so away. And there are 5 rivers that go through there to the ocean. There are a lot of ways to get there, but when you get there, there's only one way to get across the bridge. You see, like the woman who was at the post office, whose son worked there, she told the preacher, he said, there's only one way to go to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. She said, well, preacher, my son works down at the post office, and you can go 5 different ways and get to the post office. She said, I think it's that way to go to heaven. He said, no, ma'am, when you die, you're not going to the post office. When you die, you're not going to Georgetown. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He made that very clear. I believe my mom and dad are in heaven today. I don't believe it because they were good people. I don't believe it because they deserved it. I believe because they were sinners who got saved by the grace of God, and they gave testimony and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved them. I'm thankful today that I have that belief. I read a story about a man in Dublin. He was a father who lost his boy. He was a busy man earning a living and had a little time for other things, and his son died, and at night the people of his neighborhood would see him sitting in the window at a table with a candle reading the Bible. And someone asked him about that. He said, I'm trying to find the place where my son has gone. The author that wrote that told about another minister who lost his child, and he stood at the head of the coffin after the funeral service. And he said, I used to live on this side of the river and on the other side of the river. I never thought about the people over there. They didn't mean anything to me. My place was here. He said, but my daughter got married to a man and they moved across the river. And he said, every day I look over there and I longed to see her. I longed to be with her. That was my child. He said, now that place meant something to me. And he said, now she's gone to heaven. He said, she's just gone to another place that I can long for and look forward to be reunited with her when I go home to be with the Lord. We got friends in heaven today. Dick Hedrick, Ray Korn, Bobby Anglin. Their pictures hang in our hallway because they served faith in this church for many years. Deacon, Sunday school teacher, junior church teacher, workers in the church. I have a picture of Peggy Tanner in my office that her children brought to me because we loved each other dearly. Up on Main Street, when the church had very little, just getting started, storefront building, Peggy Tanner followed the bus to church. It had letters on the back of the bus that said, follow me to Bible Baptist Church. She got in her car. She said that thing came through Twin Lakes Trailer Park every Sunday. She got in her car and followed that thing all the way around the bus route and all the way back to Main Street and came in the door, and she never left. She was here every service. Her husband was unsaved. He'd sit out there in the congregation. I'd preach my heart out. Say, anybody who's lost wants to be saved, he'd raise his hand, but we couldn't get him forward. We talked many times. Nolan was bad to drink, but Peggy stayed with him. He'd come to church. He liked me. He liked the church. He loved many of you, but he didn't want to get saved. He didn't want to change his life. He was afraid, like many people are. His mom died. I said, Nolan, I know your mom and daddy are Christian people. Because of that, I know your mom is in heaven. I said, don't you want to go where your mom was going to be? That Sunday, he walked the aisle, tears in his eyes, received Christ as Savior. From then on, when he came to church, he said, preacher, I can raise my hand now. I know I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't have to raise my hand that I'm lost and want prayer. We'd go on trips together. They loved to go eat barbecue. We went to Buford and ate barbecue all over the place and ate barbecue. I miss them. I'm going to see them again. Heaven's a real place. We got friends there. It means more to me today than it ever did with the loved ones that I have there. I have a brother there I never met. He was a stillborn child. His name is James Clifford Parrish, Jr. I'm named after a dead baby. My name is James Clifford Parrish, Jr. I took the place of my brother I've never seen. Some of you sitting here have children in heaven today. Preemies and small children who were born and did not survive, and sadly some who've died, that older people who've had to bury their own children. That's tough. Heaven's real, my friends. We don't have to fear going there. We don't have to have anguish about death if we know the Lord is our Savior. Today, what's most important is know the Lord, walk with God, be ready, because you could go at any time or Jesus could come at any time. Let's stand together. I'll have to finish this another time. Last week I preached and I didn't finish from the Psalms. One of the ladies said, I was enjoying that. I wish you'd kept going. I told them I had two more pages of notes. She said, I wanted to hear those other two pages of notes. I said, you're kind. Thank you. My daughter-in-law said, well, you finished on time for once. She keeps track of that. Well, 10 after is about my finishing on time. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless this invitation. Lord, you know how I long to help people to come to Christ and know their sins forgiven and know they have a home in heaven and then live for him and influence other people to know the same. I pray that you'll strengthen us in this invitation, that as Christians we do what we ought to do and we live like citizens of heaven. And then, Lord, if there's anybody who hears this message here or on the internet who doesn't know Christ as Savior, not sure if they died today they'd go to heaven, help them to come and fall at the feet of Jesus and believe on him as their Savior and their sacrifice to pay for their sins. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.